from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from Molinaro. An impossible catch. Oh, my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher, on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome into the Hot Corner for a must be a Tuesday, but baby, that's what we do here. It's always a Tuesday. Patrick Harris, Joe Fisher with you. Schultze on the ones and twos.
Let's go!
Oh, Nelly.
How we doing? We doing all right?
I'm good. I got Colombia, Brazil over there, 1-1.
Yeah, you got some winners on the TV, possibly. Some nations that are good at soccer.
Yeah. It's a lot better than these yahoos that I'm from.
God. What was I just saying last week that I was like, I don't know who they're playing, but I hope they lose, because it is just like clockwork. U.S. men's team, we get hyped up, we get all excited for our team, and I don't care about the referees. They choked it. It happened again.
You know what's really funny?
And I just have to see a bunch of bitching and moaning for the next 24 hours about them just not being good.
You know what's funny is the referee yesterday was quite atrocious for both teams. As a football fan, that was embarrassing to watch.
Yes, and of course, they got together in a room before the game, and they said, screw USA, let's throw the game for our friends at Uruguay. And we don't want them to have anything nice.
But what's really funny about it, though, is if America doesn't have the giant debacle against Panama and beats Panama like they should beat Panama...
You're saying... Panama, weird. Panama.
Panama.
Woo-hoo!
If they take care of business against Panama and then lose to Uruguay.
Panama. You keep saying Panama.
Oh, so that's David Lee
Panama.
Roth. Panama.
Sure, let's do that.
If America takes Sounds care exotic. Of business against Panama... And goes into this, and we're going to advance, but the winner of this game wins the group, and you lose 1-0 to Uruguay, in that kind of fashion, I kind of look at it and go, hey, I thought we played pretty good. I thought we played pretty well against Uruguay. I think we did. All things considered, the ref was rough. They're really good. I thought we played really well. But slapping dudes on the back of the head in the game before ain't going to help you. And America goes, adios. And I can't tell you, Joe, you know me as a football fan. I am born in this country. Therefore, I root for this country. And as we sit here as pundits, as media, as people that talk about things that other highly talented people do, the lowest point of my day yesterday watching that America game is that I agree with Alexi Lalas. And let me tell you how much that hurts my soul.
Oh, yeah, you're not a fan. Yeah. And,
nobody is. Nobody. It's not even like a me thing. I don't have a hot take here. Nobody.
No one, not one person is a fan of Alexi Lalas.
Nobody is interested in Alexi Lalas and what he has to say.
Is it, because he's is it because he's a ginge?
No.
Is there some sort of skin, hair, being biased against him because of that, huh?
No.
He doesn't have a soul?
I think a lot of it is because he is the Stephen A. Smith of football.
Well, that's a stretch. I mean, that's a little... I would say
but
that's...
But he says crazy things.
I'd say that's Taylor Twellman, if anybody.
He says crazy things that aren't legit.
On a lighter note, what is the most fun country in South America and Central America to say? Is Uruguay? Up there?
Uruguay.
I mean, that's got to be a top three.
Well, Costa Rica's nickname is Los Ticos.
Los Ticos?
I'm kind of into that. Los Ticos.
I mean, I'm looking at all of them.
You do have, it's not Chile, it's Chile. Chile. You know, like, that's pretty fun.
Guyana?
Guyana?
Or French Guyana?
French Guyana. They have, like, population of North Portland.
Or do we go... Wait, Guyana or French Guyana?
Both.
Both? I don't believe that.
Isn't
Guyana where they had Jonestown? The country of Guyana? I think that's where Jonestown was that had the cult moved to.
Oh, I thought Jonestown was like Virginia when we founded America.
No, I'm thinking of, what was that guy's name? The cult leader. Text line could probably help me out.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to get
Jim Jones, right?
I'm trying to get the text line up, but I'm having problems.
Yeah, Jim Jones, that's right.
Yeah, Jim Jones. I'm pretty sure that it was Guyana was the country that he moved all his followers to and then had them drink the Kool-Aid.
That's amazing.
Do you not know this? Do you not know?
No, I think I do, but I'm so worried about, I don't know. I'm just thinking about this wrong. I don't know. Please help me.
Are you okay?
I'm having a stroke.
I was going to say.
I'm having a stroke over here.
Do you smell burnt toast or something?
Oh, hey, there it is. Sorry, I've been trying to figure out this damn text line.
The Vancouver Ford text line?
And I figured it out.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, my computer is taking an absolute dump right now. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Guyana. Or no, maybe the Vancouver text line is saying Ghana. I don't know.
We ain't taking that.
I don't know.
Ghana is a country in Africa.
I know. I don't think it was in Africa. I think that was a little too far. I don't know if they had the
Jim
mileage.
Jones was to South America.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Exactly. No, you are so right about that.
If I'm going to take my cult somewhere, I'm staying in a hemisphere, okay? Only the Nazis realized they had to leave a hemisphere to get out of their stuff. So they left Germany to go to Argentina.
Thank you. Yes, the 1978 Jonestown Massacre was in Guyana, G-U-Y-A-N-A, in South America.
Funny thing.
Is that the biggest thing that they're known for?
Probably.
Unfortunately. Like, I don't know anything else about the country of Guyana besides that.
Funny note about Nazis in Argentina. I was in Paris and last summer, and we walked up to the sandwich shop. And the guy who was running it was probably in his 70s. And he was of Italian descent. Like, we started talking to him. And he's Italian descent, but he grew up, he was born and raised in Argentina. And he's talking to us. He's like, yeah, you know, Paris is very different than when I was a kid. I'm from Argentina, but my parents are from Italy. And then he started talking and we were kind of sitting there listening. And we were piecing it together and we were like, oh, my God, your parents are Nazis.
What? No, dude. No, they're Italian.
Your parents voted for Mussolini, and they moved to Argentina, and now you decided to sell sandwiches in France. They were damn good sandwiches.
They're like,
and his grandson was like outside with his daughter, and so it was like this cute family moment. But then me and the wife are like looking at each other, like these guys are Nazis.
They're like, what kind of sandwiches? Reubens with sauerkraut on them.
I think these guys are Nazis.
Oh wait.
Oh no. Oh God. You might be right.
Oh God. Oh God.
See, the text line is now they're saying it's Jamestown. It is in Guyana, but I always thought it was Jonestown.
Getting higgy with it.
Yeah, that's got, I mean, I'm sure they have some, you know, very beautiful, I don't know, waterfalls or something like that, or forests, or, and yes, it was Jonestown. It wasn't Jamestown. See, I'm 2 for 2, all right?
I mean, South America is a weird spot, all right? Let's not forget, the largest country in South America does not speak Spanish.
Oh,
they speak Portuguese.
Brazil and Portuguese.
Like, that's a wild concept, right?
I mean,
I've been to Brazil. Nice place.
Have you seen the size of Portugal?
Isn't, well, I was going to say,
it is a sliver on the coast of Spain.
Yeah. How did that happen? How did Portugal end up with so little land, but such a dominant, you know, like language,
lingual kind of situation?
Yeah, expansion.
Because Portugal probably got on some boats and sailed to the land of Brazil and wiped out a bunch of natives and said, you speak Portuguese now.
Yeah, and then that just sort of spread throughout the land.
And created the beautiful.
And then when they got back home, they're like, you guys are done. You're getting just this little piece of land. No more for you.
Yeah, the Spaniards were like, what the hell's wrong with you? Why are you going south, dude?
Yeah. Hot South American talk here.
Well, I had it on my bingo card, so that's a plus.
Well, now I'm intrigued to learn more about Guyana. I mean, not really, but, you know, at least for the next couple of minutes before we take a commercial break and then get to baseball.
Well, give me the cliff notes. Oakley Duckley. Well, speaking of baseball, this is a baseball show. We do got some live for you. This is one of my favorite shows of the year, my friends. Schultzy, I don't know if you know this, but today we officially, you may have done it before because you can do it up to 5,000 times, paging Toronto fans. Today, we will all vote for the All-Star game.
Well, that's going to be easy for me. Oriole.
I think you missed the show last year.
Oriole.
I think we were all gone.
Oriole.
I think we were gone last year. So I did vote last year. I did it on my own accord. But this year, we will spend the year voting on All-Star games. Plus, we got to kind of touch on some, are the Phillies in big trouble? Does Tim Anderson get signed by the Mariners? Because that'd be the most Mariner thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
Trade deadline is massively approaching. So we'll see what we get to. But let's dive into the All-Star game. Plus, new home run derby format. Stop me if you've heard this before.
Yes, that is correct.
So we got a lot to get to. We'll get to that. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Schultzy's on the 1 and 2s. Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
719 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it.
Yeah, we might need an ambulance soon.
We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge.
He's falling apart.
Jesus, what is happening to me right now?
Hello? McFly?
Hello?
Anybody home? Sorry. It's a perfect opportunity for that.
We spend this day looking ahead to the All-Star Game, which will be in 2 weeks.
Brought to you by?
Brought to you by the vote. No, the All-Star vote.
Oh, okay, not the game.
Not the game.
I kind of wish the game was brought to you by this company
the
now.
The All-Star Ballot Finals brought to you by BuildSubmarines.com. I feel like this company had to look at the Titanic debacle of last summer.
What is their budget?
And they've decided, like, hey, you want to go deep down and have your thing blow up? Yeah, that'll cost you, you know, $275,000.
Boy,
we will take your money and you will sign a contract absolving us of all problems.
I have seen some other ads and stuff for GoCoastGuard.com. Our nautical brothers need help right now. We need more Coast Guard members. We need more people building submarines.
Which is
what the hell is going on?
Which is funny. They want you to support the Coast Guard while everybody tells you that the Coast Guard is just a bunch of pansies.
Oh, dude, what was that one movie with Ashton Kutcher? Annapolis or something?
Pearl Harbor?
No.
Oh, sorry.
I think
Kutcher and Ben Affleck. Sorry.
Was it Annapolis?
No, Damon and Ben Affleck.
I need a name.
No, it was James Franco.
The brain is dead.
It's all good.
James Franco, he's still cool, right?
No. You can't hang out with him, apparently.
No, I believe he is too woke for us.
Man, I gotta remember this damn movie. Ashton Kutcher, this is how I know my laptop is listening to me, because as soon as I type in Ashton Kutcher, the first thing that comes up is Coast Guard movie, so thanks, laptop, for
not Butterfly Effect?
The
not
Guardian.
Not that 70s show?
The Guardian is what it's called. And it also has Kevin Costner. But there's a little clip, like a little montage in there where they show Coast Guard training. No, thank you. I would not want to go through the training that the Coast Guard guys have to go through.
It sounds like a bunch of pansies.
Yeah. Imagine, like, basically being purposely drowned.
The Home Run Derby has a new format. Why does this feel to me a little bit like pass interference rules in the NFL? Like, every year this thing changes. They're like, I'm, like, reading this, and I'll share it with you in a moment. But I'm reading this and I'm like, how is this different than what was last year? How did we do it last year? Do we do it this way? Do we do it a different way?
Are you asking that, or is that rhetorical?
It's both. It's both, honestly.
It was like a timed round, right? I don't think they had a limit of balls like we're about to hear about. I think it was a timed 3-minute round with a 30-second bonus into, I believe, another shorter timed second round. Don't quote me on that, though.
Why do we feel the need in the All-Star break of Major League Baseball, which is clearly the best All-Star break, why do we feel the need to constantly tinker with it? Is this a baseball, nobody hates baseball more than baseball thing?
I mean, yes. But then again, All-Star games are just kind of doing this now. Like, the funny thing is to me, the Home Run Derby, out of all the sports, everything is one of the sports or all-star activities that to me is like, you don't really have to do anything. People are going to watch that thing.
Without a doubt.
You know, slam dunk contest is going through it.
It's been really rough. I don't watch that anymore.
I think it's a little bit overblown that people saying it sucks. 3-point contest is the better watch. It's like, no, it's
well,
not.
Well, there's a bunch of dudes that could barely make a starting roster but can bam out.
That's the only problem, is that you just don't have stars. So if you get stars that are doing it, then people are going to watch it a lot more. That's the problem. But you can have Mac McClung in there, and I'll still watch. I mean, Pro Bowl, dear God. I mean, we've been talking
dear
about
God.
That. We've been talking about that for a while now. That thing hasn't been relevant since Sean Taylor took that punter's head off. So, I mean, like, the Home Run Derby is, like, the one all-star activity where it's like, yeah, I'm going to tune in for that. Like, I would bet that the Home Run Derby probably gets better ratings than the all-star game itself in the MLB.
Great shot. Great chance.
So, I mean, changing the format, I mean, I don't know if it really matters so much or that you need to. But, again, MLB, for some reason, feels like they have to.
These are the new rules. In the first round, all eight players get 3 minutes or 40 pitches, whichever comes first, plus that timeout.
3 minutes or 40 pitches.
So whatever comes first.
So they're putting a limit on it. It is more of a limit, I should say, than before.
I feel like 40 pitches would come first.
Yeah, I agree.
Versus 3 minutes.
Has to.
Yeah.
Has to. One, because those guys swing at everything. Two, one.
Yeah, I mean, those guys are grooving them in there.
Yeah. They're quick to swing, too.
The four leading home run hitters advance, which means we're not a bracket anymore.
I like that. I really hated the bracket
system. I like that as well. I appreciate that.
Ties are broken using the longest home run distance.
Dumb.
Yeah, you should make them.
Dumb.
There should be like a 10 ball or like a 30 second or 60 second slam. What if I hit
17 and you hit 17, but I hit a 475? That's not a good tiebreaker. What else?
That's cool. But
what would be a better tiebreaker?
I think a slam off.
Yeah. I think like 1 minute, 1.5 minute, whoever hits the most home runs. Like, have it like, oh, sorry, you hit only a 465 footer compared to my 470. You are not advanced. Like, come on.
I don't like that either.
After the initial 3 minutes or 40 pitches is up, each player gets three bonus outs, where they continue hitting until three outs are recorded, which means if you're Adley Rutschman from the right side, that is very beneficial to you.
So everybody gets the additional
everybody three gets out the thing. Additional three outs, and you hit until those three outs are recorded.
Okay. So it's first minutes or pitches, and then it goes to outs. Okay. Mm-hmm.
So kind of like the old format where it was like you have to be selective about the ones you're trying to hit because you only have three outs.
Hitters can earn a fourth bonus out with a 425-foot homer in bonus time.
I like that.
Like, in that bonus round, if you have a home run over 425, then you get that fourth out. But that's it. Like, no fifth out or anything like that? Or sit. No. Like, if you hit multiple 425 home runs?
In the semis.
Otherwise, it would probably keep going for way longer than needed.
In the semis, the four remaining players are seeded 1 through 4 using first round home run totals. Then it's 1 against 4, 2 against 3 in head-to-head matchups. 3 minutes, 40 pitches, one timeout. Same bonus rules apply. So the semifinals is the exact same thing.
Okay.
Okay, follow?
Gotcha.
In the finals, the final two players now have 2 minutes or 27 pitches, whichever comes first, with one timeout, but the same bonus time rules apply. Most home runs wins.
You know, now that you said it, for this second round, the whole whatever comes first, I don't know if I like it. Like, just stick to one.
I think what drives me absolutely bonkers about this, it's like we're redoing the Home Run Derby every single year. Now, this might be a great way to do it, but why do I have to relearn the Home Run Derby every single year?
Now I have to ask, is it 27 total pitches or is it 27 total hacks? I mean, it's a pitch, so it's like you better be swinging.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, because what if the guy who's throwing to you just sucks? Like, who was last year? I'm trying
to
remember.
Like, if my dad threw to me, it would suck because he's dead. But if he threw to me, those would be bad pitches.
God, I'm trying to remember last year in the Derby.
Especially from a dead guy.
Someone's coach, dad, whoever was just throwing terrible pitches. But yeah, it's like, if he sucks and gives me, like, isn't giving me hittable, it's like, oh, well, that's one of your 27, one of your 40. Like, you better swing at it. Like, I like just having the timed amount. Like, just give me a timed clock. Because also, I think that's more fun when you're getting to those final seconds and it's like, oh, he needs two more. He's only got 15 seconds left.
I think what they're trying to do is I think they're trying to find a way to reward the Adley Rutschmans and the Julio Rodriguezes of the world that hit so many bombs but because of stupid rule stuff, they don't advance. Like when Adley switched sides, that's a top five home run derby moment.
It's pretty cool.
Of all time. Griffey with the backwards hat, Hamilton in Yankee Stadium, McGuire over Fenway, Julio, honestly. Gary Sanchez had that great round that one year. Like, I think they're trying to tool the rules to benefit those guys who didn't advance. Let's not forget, Josh Hamilton in Yankee Stadium didn't win. Bobby Abreu won. You know, Julio Rodriguez, Adley Rutschman put on a bleeping show, and neither of them advanced. So I think they're trying to tool the rules to help those guys. I just pick something and stick with it. That's all I want.
Yeah,
I can't learn pass interference rules every year.
So I'm looking at like the Wikipedia for the Home Run Derby in the format section. No changes really from 85 to 90. 91 to 2005, they used the same format. 2006 to 2013, instead of the tally resetting for each round, it was only reset before the final round. Therefore, the players with the four highest totals after round one bounced to round two. So, I mean, no changes for essentially 14 years, and then no changes for seven. And then on here it says 2014 there was a change, 2015 there was a change. 2020 or 2019 there was a change, 2021 there was a change, 2023, 2024. I mean, it seems like it is now a every year thing, for the most part, every other year thing, where it is being changed.
And I don't like that. Reminds me of the NFL. I can't keep up with you.
Yeah, I'm looking at all of it. First tiebreaker in 2017, 2018. Yeah, it's too much. It's too much.
Let's get out on this.
Gold balls being implemented at some point.
Oh, like the stripe ball and the 3-point, the money ball.
Kind of.
Yeah, they had the Century 21 gold ball.
That's right. They did that from 2005 to 2013.
In terms of who we know are playing.
That was raised for charity, sorry.
We can come back to this next week. The only player committed to the Home Run Derby in 2024.
Your future AL MVP.
Shortstop for the Baltimore Orioles, Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah, I mean, the guy hits dongs. What do you expect?
He is the only one. We're waiting on Shohei. Apparently, everyone's telling Shohei not to do it, but the fact that he hasn't said no means he really wants to do it. And baseball is like, for the love of God.
Please.
Like, we are violating Players Association rules for you.
Well, also, you know, Dave Roberts being the smartest manager in baseball that he is, telling Shohei, don't do it. You want to be careful with that elbow and not re-aggravate it at all.
I mean, if everyone in baseball is Aaron Boone, then yeah, Dave Roberts is number one. We do know there are a couple guys that are not going to, that have said no. One of them being Yordan Alvarez, which is too bad because he could be really fun. That guy hits baseballs like he's mad at you.
Yeah, he is he's a beast.
And the other is Aaron Judge. And the reason Judge isn't going to do it this year is because he's going to do it next year at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, I didn't even realize it was. Where is this the game at this year?
Texas,
that's right. Okay, thank you.
I really hope Julio doesn't do it. I think it'd be laughable if he did it because he's hit so few homers this year. He hasn't even hit like a double in the last like 20, 30
games. Julio Rodriguez in seven pitches could hit more home runs in the Home Run Derby than he has this year.
You're not wrong, but I think it's a farce, and I don't think they should do it. It is a bad look to go hit a bunch of home runs while you are struggling at the plate.
So I would say, as a Mariners fan, you would want him to do it because as soon as after he did the Home Run Derby last year, he caught fire and started hitting a lot better. So maybe you need him to participate in it.
Maybe you're right. But that was in Seattle, but you are right.
Also, Julio can't be worse than he is right now. So who gives an F?
Don't say that, please.
All right, let's get out of here. When we come back, let's look at the All-Star vote. Let's dive into this. I love this so much because I get to vote for the All-Star game, which I think is fantastic. But I do have a little bit of a concern about how we vote right now.
Uh-oh.
So we'll touch on that next. But first, there's Schultzy with sports. You know, I used to work for a guy. I won't name his name because that would be inappropriate. Who once told me that he lost his virginity to this song at a party.
What? Was he
like like him and a chick met up?
Was this the 80s by chance?
Yes.
I mean, of course.
And they went in the back room and got their boogie on, and that's where he lost the V card.
Woo-hoo!
While Panama was being played in the background.
Yeah!
So on his birthday, we would always play it very loudly.
There are many. He is among millions that have lost that V card to
them. It's crazy. That
I bet you millions have lost their V cards to David Lee Roth while that song was playing.
I mean, the crazy part of that story is that they didn't even get to the first verse.
Yeah.
Hey.
This
V card, what do you want?
As we get here to the All-Star Ballot Finals 2024 presented by BuildSubmarines.com. Joe, as I look through this,
still kills me.
I feel like we should probably rethink how we do this.
Like win?
Yeah. Because right now we can only vote for like two guys.
Oh. Well, okay. Oriole. Let's just make it easy.
You know, when you get to first base, that's what she said. When you get to first base, like, I want to look around and I want to see the guys. I want to, like, see everything. But right now I'm being told you can only choose between one of these two guys.
Oh, yeah.
And in the National League, I don't even get to choose. It's already been chosen for me.
Top vote getter.
Now, I don't have a problem with it because that's probably who I would vote for based on stats. This isn't Toronto, all right? We don't live in a world where you can vote for your players whether they suck or not. I was going to be real mad if I saw Bo Bichette on this list.
Yeah, that would have not made sense.
But that's how they do it. And so I'm very glad that it kind of gets rid of some of that, but I would like to look at the rest of the first baseman before I choose between these two guys.
Yes, so we need to make sure we are a little bit quicker on this next year.
We have to be before the finalists, because now they have finalists.
And you mentioned getting here sooner. Bo Bichette was on the list, I think, 3 weeks ago.
Of course he was.
So we could have voted for him.
Because I look at this, and I can see of my first base choices, one of them is a Toronto Blue Jay. Now, he's been very hot the last week, and his stats do justify a little bit of being the top vote getter.
Excuse me, he looks really hot.
But I want to look at some other guys and see if I should choose them, because obviously Joe's O's are stuffing the ballot here.
What are you talking about? Come on, don't do that.
No?
I mean, probably, but come on, don't do that. You're having a great year.
Do you think we should have finalists like this?
No.
Or do you think it should just be open at all times? Like, Bryce, you can't vote for a first baseman in the National League because it's Bryce.
No, they need to keep it open.
You should keep it open, right?
Yeah.
And let maybe somebody comes on strong later.
For the sake of our show and for us having better content, yeah, they should keep it open. Because I'm also looking at the stats right now and his season. I mean, like, you could make the argument that Josh Naylor should definitely be in this vote. Over who? Well, you know, I don't really want to admit, but I mean,
tugging at my heartstrings here, dude.
I know.
Tugging at my heartstrings. I watched him hustle his fat booty around third today and score.
But let's be real. I mean, we kind of had a feeling about this guy in the American League on first base that he could pop off at any moment, and he's been doing that the last couple weeks.
I know, especially when it comes to trade deadline stuff. And next week, I would really want to get into some trade deadline stuff and really dive into it and take a big peek at it. But I feel like I am being, it's like I heard the last segment on Primetime. Buck was talking about the echo chamber, and we don't read articles because we just follow somebody that we trust and they tell us what to do. I feel like that's going on right now. I feel like this might be a little collusion. Look, I know he's really good. He's one of the best we've ever seen. But I don't know if he's the guy I would vote for.
Would you vote for Josh Naylor?
Maybe. I don't know, because I don't have the other guy's stats in front of me to be able to choose.
Well, Josh Naylor...
they have told me that one of these two guys is clearly the best that's ever been seen.
I mean, I'm going to vote for Vladdy Jr. That's who I'm going to put my vote in. I love you, Ryan Mountcastle. You're great, but...
But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about who you're going to vote for. I'm talking about that I think this voting process is garbage right now.
Well,
I don't get a say in the National League.
Tough titty, said the kitty, but the milk was cold, all right?
What if I think a 38-year Paul Goldschmidt is having a better season than a 33-year-old Bryce Harper?
I mean, I would...
Which is not true, but you know what I mean.
That is not true. I would say the one aspect I like of this voting is that the top vote-getters from each league are kind of just guaranteed past a certain point, which does allow voters who are just kind of hitting the button over and over for them to try to put that somewhere
Throw
else.
Throw somebody else in?
Yeah, that's fine.
Right.
So there's like one aspect of this that I like, but sitting here looking at two options, you know, for one position and then two more options for a designated hitter, six options total for the outfield, and one of those is Aaron Judge in the American League. Yeah, you're definitely limited past, and I don't know when they limited this. Like, what, the last week or couple of weeks till the end of June is when they start to tell
but
you?
But, Chelsea,
no?
I think you touch on something there. Like, what if they say, okay, Judge is in. Okay, you normally get to vote for three outfielders. Judge is in. So now you only get to vote for two.
Mm-hmm.
What if they let me vote for three?
Like one of those doesn't end up being a starter, but they automatically get a bench spot? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Not necessarily. Okay. But just if we know Judge is in,
yeah.
So only potentially two of your three guys are going to get picked. But let's you keep your third vote to maybe bump somebody else up.
I understand what you're saying, but it does get a little convoluted, and I feel like taking that player away does enough to keep those votes out there. But I see what you're saying.
I also think it should go back to the back in the day.
What's that?
Oh,
I think you should go back to the back to the back to the I think you should have to go back to the day where you had to go to the stadium to vote.
Punch the little ballots at the stadium and then drop them off. Yeah.
What am I going to do? Drive all the way up to Seattle for that?
Hell yeah. And we would do it. That would be a show.
That's unfair.
We would do a show on the road.
That's unfair to us non
Joe and
MLB
I would be
cities.
At a bar just absolutely hammed after some bad Mariners Royals game. Talking about whether or not we want to choose Stephen Kwan or Anthony Santander.
So are we actually voting right now or not? Or are we just going to be upset this whole time?
We're just going to be upset this whole time.
We're going to boycott the voting process this time?
No, because we're going to vote. No, we're going to vote. We're going to vote.
All right, so are we agreeing at least first base is Vladimir Guerrero Jr.?
Hell no, I ain't agreeing on nothing, dude.
Why do I have to join in on Canada's...
My body, my rights.
You're going Mountcastle?
No.
Yes.
I'll tell you who I'm voting for. We'll do that next. It's the Hot Corner, 10 in the Fan. All right, my friends, this is the time you've been waiting for. It's time to start voting. Coming up in the second hour, we got a little story time with Uncle Patrick at 8:15. On the fly, Joe inspired me, plus Fair or Foul at 8:30. At 8:15, we'll talk a little Mickey Mantle.
What?
Which I love doing because I love Mickey. One of my favorite players of all time.
Because you watch so many of his games.
Dude, me and Swag, dude.
Sorry, that's rude.
Swag and I were in right center at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, my God. I'm seeing Corbin Carroll's stats right in front of me. I knew he was having a bad season, but 212 average, two home runs. I think the OPS said like 5-something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. I want to start here in the National League. We've been kind of leading into this. Bryce Harper is your starting first baseman in the All-Star game in Texas. So we can move past that. I would be interested to see who else at first base in the National League was worthy, but that's for another time. I find second base to be absolutely fascinating. Right now, your two finalists are Luis Arraez and Ketel Marte. I find this absolutely fascinating because Luis Arraez doesn't play second base anymore. So I think that's a big thing. But I think what's fun about this competition here, Joe, is you're talking about a guy who is just a pure hitter versus a guy that actually provides for his team. That's not a slam at Luis Arraez, but his job is to sit at the top of the order and hit. He doesn't hit for power. He's got 22 RBIs.
I see ball, I hit ball, I get on base.
Right. And there should be some love and respect for that. Personally, of this, I'm voting for Ketel Marte.
Likewise. I think that, I mean, if Arias had a little bit more offensive output when it comes to home runs, RBIs, slugging, all of that, I mean, he is a hitting machine. He is a single machine. If you gave me a little bit more than that, then I would, I mean, he's going to go to the All-Star game anyways.
Right, right. He'll be a backup. But so, should he start is a big deal.
No,
I'm going to. They got contracts on this stuff?
No, I'm going to go Marte.
Yeah, I just think he's got 25 more home run, more RBIs. His OPS is almost 150 more. His home runs are 15 more, and his batting average is only 30 points less.
Yeah, that's another thing, is that it's not like he's drastically underperforming.
He's batting 287, yeah. Which Patrick Harris would say is pretty good.
Yeah.
Not great.
It's not a giant disparity as far as batting average. It's not like he's batting 250 or something, for God's sakes. Like, yeah, to me, it's...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, I used to work for a guy. I won't name his name because that would be inappropriate. Who once told me that he lost his virginity to this song at a party.
Was he
like him and a chick met up?
Was this the 80s by chance?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Of course.
And they went in the back room and got their boogie on, and that's where he lost the V card.
Woo-hoo!
While Panama was being played in the background.
Yeah.
So on his birthday, we would always play it very loudly.
There are many. He is among millions that have lost that V card to
this. It's crazy that
I bet you millions have lost their V cards to David Lee Roth while that song was playing.
I mean, the crazy part of that story is that they didn't even get to the first verse.
Yeah.
Hey.
His
V card. What do you want?
As we get here to the All-Star Ballot Finals 2024 presented by BuildSubmarines.com, Joe, as I look through this,
still kills me.
I feel like we should probably rethink how we do this.
Like win?
Yeah. Because right now we can only vote for like two guys.
Oh, well, ooh. Okay. Oriole. Let's just make it easy.
You know, when you get to first base... That's what she said. when you get to first base, like, I want to look around and I want to see the guys. I want to, like, see everything. But right now I'm being told you can only choose between one of these two guys.
Oh, yeah.
And in the National League, I don't even get to choose. It's already been chosen for me.
Top vote getter.
Now, I don't have a problem with it because that's probably who I would vote for based on stats. This isn't Toronto, all right? We don't live in a world where you can vote for your players whether they suck or not. I was going to be real mad if I saw Bo Bichette on this list.
Yeah, that would have not made sense.
But that's how they do it. And so I'm very glad that it kind of gets rid of some of that, but I would like to look at the rest of the first baseman before I choose between these two guys.
Yes, so we need to make sure we are a little bit quicker on this next year.
We have to be before the finalists, because now they have finalists.
And you mentioned getting here sooner. Bo Bichette was on the list, I think, 3 weeks ago.
Of course he was.
So we could have voted for him.
Because I look at this, and I can see of my first base choices, one of them is a Toronto Blue Jay. Now, he's been very hot the last week. And his stats do justify a little bit of being the top vote getter.
Excuse me, he looks really hot.
But I want to look at some other guys and see if I should choose them, because obviously Joe's O's are stuffing the ballot here.
What are you talking about? Come on, don't do that.
No?
I mean, probably, but come on, don't do that. You're having a great year.
Do you think we should have finalists like this?
No.
Or do you think it should just be open at all times? Like, Bryce, you can't vote for a first baseman in the National League because it's Bryce.
No, they need to keep it open.
You should keep it open, right?
Yeah.
And let maybe somebody comes on strong later.
For the sake of our show and for us having better content, yeah, they should keep it open. Because I'm also looking at the stats right now and his season. I mean, like, you could make the argument that Josh Naylor should definitely be in this vote. Over who? Well, you know, I don't really want to admit, but I mean,
tugging at my heartstrings here, dude.
I know.
Tugging at my heartstrings. I watched him hustle his fat booty around third today and score.
But let's be real. I mean, we kind of had a feeling about this guy in the American League on first base that he could pop off at any moment, and he's been doing that the last couple weeks.
I know, especially when it comes to trade deadline stuff. And next week, I would really want to get into some trade deadline stuff and really dive into it and take a big peek at it. But I feel like I am being, it's like I heard the last segment on Primetime. Buck was talking about the echo chamber, and we don't read articles because we just follow somebody that we trust and they tell us what to do. I feel like that's going on right now. I feel like this might be a little collusion. Look, I know he's really good. He's one of the best we've ever seen. But I don't know if he's the guy I would vote for.
Would you vote for Josh Naylor?
Maybe. I don't know, because I don't have the other guy's stats in front of me to be able to choose.
Well, Josh Naylor,
they have told me that one of these two guys is clearly the best that's ever been seen.
I mean, I'm going to vote for Vladdy Jr. That's who I'm going to put my vote in. I love you, Ryan Mountcastle. You're great, but
that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about who you're going to vote for. I'm talking about that I think this voting process is garbage right now.
Well,
I don't get a say in the National League.
Tough titty, said the kitty, but the milk was cold, all right?
What if I think a 38-year Paul Goldschmidt is having a better season than a 33-year-old Bryce Harper?
I mean, I would
which is not true, but you know what I mean.
That is not true. I would say the one aspect I like of this voting is that the top vote getters from each league are kind of just guaranteed past a certain point, which does allow voters who are just kind of hitting the button over and over for them to try to put that somewhere
throw
else.
Throw somebody else in?
Yeah, that's fine.
Right.
So there's like one aspect of this that I like. But sitting here looking at two options, you know, for one position and then two more options for a designated hitter, six options total for the outfield, and one of those is Aaron Judge in the American League. Yeah, you're definitely limited past, and I don't know when they limited this. Like, what, the last week or couple of weeks till the end of June is when they start to tell
but
you?
But, Chelsea,
no?
I think you touch on something there. Like, what if they say, okay, Judge is in. Okay, you normally get a vote for three outfielders. Judge is in. So now you only get to vote for two.
Mm-hmm.
What if they let me vote for three?
Like one of those doesn't end up being a starter, but they automatically get a bench spot? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Not necessarily. Okay. But just if we know Judge is in,
yeah.
So only potentially two of your three guys are going to get picked. But let's you keep your third vote to maybe bump somebody else up.
I understand what you're saying, but it does get a little convoluted. And I feel like taking that player away does enough to keep those votes out there. But I see what you're saying.
I also think it should go back to the back in the day.
What's that?
Oh,
I think you should go back to the back to the back to the I think you should have to go back to the day where you had to go to the stadium to vote.
Punch the little ballots at the stadium and then drop them off. Yeah.
What am I going to do? Drive all the way up to Seattle for that?
Hell yeah. And we would do it. That would be a show.
That's unfair.
We would do a show on the road.
That's unfair to us non
Joe and I would be at a bar just absolutely hammed after some bad Mariners Royals game. Talking about whether or not we want to choose Stephen Kwan or Anthony Santander.
So are we actually voting right now or not? Or are we just going to be upset this whole time?
We're just going to be upset this whole time.
We're going to boycott the voting process this time?
No, because we're going to vote. No, we're going to vote. We're going to vote.
All right, so are we agreeing at least first base is Vladimir Guerrero Jr.?
Hell no, I'm agreeing on nothing, dude.
Why do I have to join in on Canada's...
My body, my rights.
You're going Mountcastle?
No.
Yes.
I'll tell you who I'm voting for. We'll do that next. It's the Hot Corner, 10 in the Fan. All right, my friends, this is the time you've been waiting for. It's time to start voting. Coming up in the second hour, we got a little story time with Uncle Patrick at 8:15. On the fly, Joe inspired me, plus Fair or Foul at 8:30. At 8:15, we'll talk a little Mickey Mantle.
What?
Which I love doing because I love Mickey. One of my favorite players of all time.
Because you watch so many of his games.
Dude, me and Swag, dude.
Sorry, that's rude.
Swag and I were in right center at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, my God. I'm seeing Corbin Carroll's stats right in front of me. I knew he was having a bad season, but 212 average, two home runs. I think the OPS said like 5-something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. I want to start here in the National League. We've been kind of leading into this. Bryce Harper is your starting first baseman in the All-Star game in Texas. So we can move past that. I would be interested to see who else at first base in the National League was worthy, but that's for another time. I find second base to be absolutely fascinating. Right now, your two finalists are Luis Arraez and Ketel Marte. I find this absolutely fascinating because Luis Arraez doesn't play second base anymore. So I think that's a big thing. But I think what's fun about this competition here, Joe, is you're talking about a guy who is just a pure hitter versus a guy that actually provides for his team. That's not a slam at Luis Arraez, but his job is to sit at the top of the order and hit. He doesn't hit for power. He's got 22 RBIs.
I see ball, I hit ball, I get on base.
Right. And there should be some love and respect for that. Personally, of this, I'm voting for Ketel Marte.
Likewise. I think that, if Arraez had a little bit more offensive output when it comes to home runs, RBIs, slugging, all of that, I mean, he is a hitting machine. He is a single machine. If you gave me a little bit more than that, then I would. I mean, he's going to go to the All-Star game anyways.
Right, right. He'll be a backup. But so, should he start is a big deal.
No,
I'm going to. They got contracts on this stuff?
No, I'm going to go Marte.
Yeah, I just think he's got 25 more home run, more RBIs. His OPS is almost 150 more. His home runs are 15 more, and his batting average is only 30 points less.
Yeah, that's another thing, is that it's not like he's drastically underperforming.
He's batting 287, yeah. Which Patrick Harris would say is pretty good.
Yeah.
Not great.
It's not a giant disparity as far as batting average. It's not like he's batting 250 or something, for God's sakes. Like, yeah, to me, it's you're providing much more offense, much more rounded offense than Arraez is. And that's not taking anything from how great of a hitter Arraez is, but it's just you know, what are you giving me more than singles and getting on base, which is valuable, but to me, Marte, just a little bit more valuable.
Yeah, I think if you're a singles hitter, you got to be up at the batting average near, like, where Tony Gwynn averaged for his
340.
Career.
340, exactly. Where Arraez has been in the past.
In the past, but not this year, like Stephen
what
Kwan.
What a bum.
He's at 360-something this year. Like, that is an average where, yeah, you're putting up less total bases, but you're still on all the time. You can't ignore that.
Are you taking former Mariner Ketel Marte?
I am taking former Mariner Ketel Marte. I love the career he's had for Arizona. He's having another great year. I mean, he's just doing everything for him. So, yeah, absolutely.
Moving on to third base, your finalists are Alec Bohm and Manny Machado. I think this is pretty simple. 1-2-3, Alec Bohm.
Boom.
I think Bohm. Bohm.
Oh, and, Alec Bohm. My bad. I was late on that.
Alec Bohm and Stott, like, these are the guys that are why Philly might win the World Series this year.
Making that jump.
Yeah, like, you've got Realmuto, you've got Harper, you've got Schwarber, you've got studs, but guys like Alec Bohm are why you're going to go to the World Series, and he's currently batting .298 right now. Only 10 home runs, so he's not going deep, but 68 RBIs and an over 800 OPS. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, he has been lights out this year. He's been a huge part of their success. Like you said, having those stalwarts in your lineup is great, but they've come up short, and I think that having Bohm and then being able to
Bryson Stott.
Thank you. Being able to push you over the top this year when it comes to World Series contender, it drastically changes for this thing. For this team.
Jordan, you're good with this as well, right?
Oh, yeah. No arguments there. Are you kidding me? That's probably one of the easiest positions in all of both the American and National League ballots.
I think one of the most interesting things is what's comes up next, and I want to kind of be quick because I want to make sure we have enough time for everything, is shortstop and catcher. In shortstop, we've got the guy that deserves it who's hurt, and in catcher, we've got the runner-up who's hurt. How do you view these votes for the All-Star game when you see these finalists and the guy who deserves it is hurt? Do you vote for the other guy?
I don't know.
Or do you vote for just who deserves it?
I don't know if you would say that, like, Realmuto is the one who deserves it.
I know, but Mookie Betts is the one who deserves it.
Yeah, and he actually, this is a great argument.
Because, that's what I'm asking.
Because I think if you start off having a great year like Mookie did, and then you get injured very recently, closer to the All-Star break, of course you got to put Mookie in.
And but, you got to remember contracts and bonuses and stuff like that, brand recognition, things like that. Like, Trey Turner is going to the All-Star game.
He'll be there as
a backup. Will be the starter. But can my moral conundrum vote for Mookie because I think he's better?
Well, I think with his stats, yes, he got injured. And then knowing that Trey Turner, which would have been the backup, will end up starting, you still get that appearance for Mookie Betts, who has put up the numbers worthy of it. On the other side of the coin, JT Realmuto, I think he got injured a little too early. I kind of start to think mid-May, if you're not playing past that, I don't think you're worthy of an All-Star vote.
Well, I think the easy thing with catcher, too, is William Contreras is the easy answer here, even if Realmuto doesn't get hurt. Contreras deserves this start and will get this start. But I'm just curious, Trey Turner was hurt in the beginning of the year, and his stats, when you look at it, are pretty comparable to Mookie. In different ways, different players, different things they do for their club. But am I wasting my vote, quote unquote, voting for Mookie Betts because he's not going to start?
No, and this is kind of where I stand with you and being like, you know what, I boycott this All-Star vote and this All-Star ballot.
Because Mookie's out. I would like another option than Trey Turner.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you could make the case for Ellie De La Cruz. You could make the case for honestly, C.J. Abrams over in Washington, my Washington Nationals, who I definitely didn't say was going to be the worst team in the MLB.
What about the rookie kid in Colorado? You know, what about that guy?
I mean, they have to have a representative, so.
Oh, it'll be Diaz. They'll bring Diaz
in. Oh, God. Well, I hope they trade him just before that, then.
I'm going to vote for Mookie Betts. I think he deserves the starting role, even though he's not going to get it.
I agree with you. I mean, I would vote for him too. I mean, I'm going to vote for him.
Yeah, you actually have to,
because I'm hitting the submit button at the end of this. So.
And William Contreras, if Realmuto goes down or not, Contreras is. I got friends in a fantasy league that I'm in that are starting to talk about, is William Contreras a keeper in a dynasty league? And that is wild to talk about.
And you
about.
Get one dynasty keeper?
Like, no. You get three.
Three?
And then everyone you draft next year is your dynasty team.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't whoever has him in my league, if they do that, I think they're stupid. But the fact that we're having the conversation says something about how great his season has been.
Yeah, he's been fantastic for the Brewers. And, you know, you're getting power from that catcher position, which is always nice to have.
I would argue he's the reason they're in first place.
You can make an argument for it, for sure. We wonder if what Realmuto's stats would be if he'd been playing for the last 3 weeks to a month. But I'm still giving it to Contreras.
If you scroll down real quick, the designated hitter, 1, 2, 3, Shohei.
Okay. Shohei? No, I'm kidding. Of course.
Fine.
I think the outfield is fascinating. I love that Nick Castellanos has as many... votes as he has. That's Philly coming in strong, but there's no way I'm clicking your name. The finalists are Nick Castellanos, Teoscar Hernandez, Brandon Marsh, Jerickson Profar, Fernando Tatis Jr., and Christian Yelich in alphabetical order. I would argue to the two of you that the bottom three are my vote getters.
What the hell is Brandon Marsh even doing on this list?
He's a Philly.
That's still ridiculous.
Yeah, that's again where I feel like there has to be a somewhat like come to Jesus moment with this all-star ballot and the whole like, oh, well, they're a finalist, so you get to vote for them. Like, no, and I understand also it's just like if we had the full pool of players, some of these guys would still probably get selected and make the all-star game as a starter when they didn't deserve it, right? Like, if we just let all players still allowed, like, obviously the players that we think should be on here didn't make it as a finalist. So is that an indictment on them? No. Is it an indictment on their fan base? It shouldn't be.
Mm.
I mean, what, like, we need to figure out a different way to go about this because, yeah, to have Brandon Marsh on there, for God's sakes. Like, what are we doing?
I mean, honestly, I think Teoscar is in the same boat. Castellanos is in the same boat. I think Teoscar's had a nice resurgence of a season in L.A., but it also helps when you bat fifth and the four guys in front of you are potential Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Like, that's really nice.
Speak of the devil, he's up to bat right now against the Diamondbacks, and he's probably going to get a 3-run home run.
Yeah, probably.
As he grounds out to the pitcher for a double play.
I am voting Jerickson Profar, Fernando Tatis Jr., and Christian Yelich. Christian Yelich and William Contreras are the reason the Brewers are in first place. This is the best season Yelich has had.
I like how you throw Yelich in there now.
It's the best season he's had in 5 years. I thought Yelich was going to be a future superstar. He won an MVP. He was really good in Florida, even better his first year in Milwaukee, and then kind of tapered off and here he is back.
Yeah, I agree with you. Those were the three, just like instinct right off the bat when I saw the six that are available to me. Those are the three I went with because Profar more than deserving because of how he's been at the plate.
Comeback player of the year.
Yelich showing why he was a former MVP at 902 OPS. Like, that's insane for him. And then Tatis Jr. as far as what he can do at the dish and out in the outfield
out
as well.
Out in the field. He's the best right fielder in the game.
Yep.
All right, that'll do it for the National League. We come back, we'll slide over to the American League. Loaded second hour, don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. All right, my friends, this is the time you've been waiting for. It's time to start voting. Coming up in the second hour, we got a little story time with Uncle Patrick at 8:15. On the fly, Joe inspired me, plus Fair or Foul at 8:30. At 8:15, we'll talk a little Mickey Mantle.
What?
Which I love doing because I love Mickey. One of my favorite players of all time.
Because you watch so many of his games.
Dude, me and Swag, dude.
Sorry, that's rude.
Swag and I were in right center at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, my God. I'm seeing Corbin Carroll's stats right in front of me. I knew he was having a bad season, but 212 average, two home runs. I think the OPS said like five something.
Yeah. Yeah, it's rough. I want to start here in the National League. We've been kind of leading into this. Bryce Harper is your starting first baseman in the All-Star game in Texas. So we can move past that. I would be interested to see who else at first base in the National League was worthy, but that's for another time. I find second base to be absolutely fascinating. Right now, your two finalists are Luis Arraez and Ketel Marte. I find this absolutely fascinating because Luis Arraez doesn't play second base anymore. So I think that's a big thing. But I think what's fun about this competition here, Joe, is you're talking about a guy who is just a pure hitter versus a guy that actually provides for his team. That's not a slam at Luis Arraez, but his job is to sit at the top of the order and hit. He doesn't hit for power. He's got 22 RBIs.
I see ball, I hit ball, I get on base.
Right. And there should be some love and respect for that. Personally, of this, I'm voting for Ketel Marte.
Likewise. I think that, I mean, if Arraez had a little bit more offensive output when it comes to home runs, RBIs, slugging, all of that, I mean, he is a hitting machine. He is a single machine. If you gave me a little bit more than that, then I would. I mean, he's going to go to the All-Star game anyways.
Right, right. He'll be a backup. But so, should he start is a big deal.
No,
I'm going to. They got contracts on this stuff?
No, I'm going to go Marte.
Yeah, I just think he's got 25 more home run, more RBIs. His OPS is almost 150 more. His home runs are 15 more, and his batting average is only 30 points less.
Yeah, that's another thing, is that it's not like he's drastically underperforming.
He's batting 287, yeah. Which Patrick Harris would say is pretty good.
Yeah.
Not great.
It's not a giant disparity as far as batting average. It's not like he's batting 250 or something, for God's sakes. Like, yeah, to me, it's you're providing much more offense, much more rounded offense than Arraez is. And that's not taking anything from how great of a hitter Arraez is, but it's just, you know, what are you giving me more than singles and getting on base, which is valuable, but to me, Marte, just a little bit more valuable.
Yeah, I think if you're a singles hitter, you got to be up at the batting average near, like, where Tony Gwynn averaged for his
340.
Career.
340, exactly. Where Arraez has been in the past.
In the past, but not this year, like Stephen
what
Kwan.
What a bum.
He's at 360-something this year. Like, that is an average where, yeah, you're putting up less total bases, but you're still on all the time. You can't ignore that.
Are you taking former Mariner Ketel Marte?
I am taking former Mariner Ketel Marte. I love the career he's had for Arizona. He's having another great year. I mean, he's just doing everything for him. So, yeah, absolutely.
Moving on to third base, your finalists are Alec Bohm and Manny Machado. I think this is pretty simple. 1-2-3, Alec Bohm.
Boom.
I think Bohm. Bohm.
Oh, and, Alec Bohm. My bad. I was late on that.
Alec Bohm and Stott, like, these are the guys that are why Philly might win the World Series this year.
Making that jump.
Yeah, like you've got Realmuto, you've got Harper, you've got Schwarber, you've got studs, but guys like Alec Bohm are why you're going to go to the World Series, and he's currently batting .298 right now. Only 10 home runs, so he's not going deep, but 68 RBIs and an over 800 OPS. That's good enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, he has been lights out this year. He's been a huge part of their success. Having those stalwarts in your lineup is great, but they've come up short, and I think that having Bohm and then being able to you just said his name,
Bryson Stott.
Thank you. Being able to push you over the top this year when it comes to World Series contender, it drastically changes for this thing, for this team.
Jordan, you're good with this as well, right?
Oh yeah, no arguments there. Are you kidding me? That's probably one of the easiest positions in all of both the American and National League ballots.
I think one of the most interesting things is what's comes up next, and I want to kind of be quick because I want to make sure we have enough time for everything, is shortstop and catcher. We've got, in shortstop, we've got the guy that deserves it who's hurt, and in catcher, we've got the runner-up who's hurt. How do you view these votes for the All-Star game when you see these finalists and the guy who deserves it is hurt? Do you vote for the other guy?
I don't know.
Or do you vote for just who deserves it?
I don't know if you would say that like Real Muto is the one who deserves it.
I know, but Mookie Betts is the one who deserves it.
Yeah, and he actually, this is a great argument.
That's what I'm asking.
Because I think if you start off having a great year like Mookie did, and then you get injured very recently closer to the All-Star break, of course you got to put Mookie in.
And but, you got to remember contracts and bonuses and stuff like that, brand recognition, things like that. Like, Trey Turner is going to the All-Star game.
He'll be there as a backup.
He'll be the starter. But can my moral conundrum vote for Mookie because I think he's better?
Well, I think with his stats, yes, he got injured. And then knowing that Trey Turner, which would have been the backup, will end up starting, you still get that appearance for Mookie Betts, who has put up the numbers worthy of it. On the other side of the coin, JT Realmuto, I think he got injured a little too early. I kind of start to think mid-May, if you're not playing past that, I don't think you're worthy of an All-Star vote.
Well, I think the easy thing with catcher, too, is William Contreras is the easy answer here, even if Realmuto doesn't get hurt. Contreras deserves this start and will get this start. But I'm just curious, Trey Turner was hurt in the beginning of the year, and his stats, when you look at it, are pretty comparable to Mookie. In different ways, different players, different things they do for their club. But am I wasting my vote, quote unquote, voting for Mookie Betts because he's not going to start?
No, and this is kind of where I stand with you and being like, you know what, I boycott this this All-Star vote and this All-Star ballot.
Because Mookie's out. I would like another option than Trey Turner.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you could make the case for Ellie De La Cruz. You could make the case for... honestly, C.J. Abrams over in Washington, my Washington Nationals, who I definitely didn't say was going to be the worst team in the MLB.
What about the rookie kid in Colorado? You know, what about that guy?
I mean, they have to have a representative, so.
Oh, it'll be Diaz. They'll bring Diaz
in. Oh, God. Well, I hope they trade him just before that, then.
I'm going to vote for Mookie Betts. I think he deserves the starting role, even though he's not going to get it.
I agree with you. I mean, I would vote for him, too. I mean, I'm going to vote for him.
Yeah, you actually have to.
Because
he's
I'm
been good.
Hitting the submit button at the end of this. So.
And William Contreras, if Realmuto goes down or not, Contreras is... I got friends in a fantasy league that I'm in that are starting to talk about, is William Contreras a keeper in a dynasty league? And that is wild to talk about.
And you
about.
Get one dynasty keeper?
Like No. You get three.
Three?
And then everyone you draft next year is your dynasty team.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't whoever has him in my league, if they do that, I think they're stupid. But the fact that we're having the conversation says something about how great his season has been.
Yeah, he's been fantastic for the Brewers. And, you know, you're getting power from that catcher position, which is always nice to have.
I would argue he's the reason they're in first place.
You can make an argument for it, for sure. You wonder if what Realmuto's stats would be if he'd been playing for the last 3 weeks to a month. But I'm still giving it to Contreras.
If you scroll down real quick, the designated hitter, 1, 2, 3, Shohei.
Okay. Shohei? No, I'm kidding. Of course.
Fine.
I think the outfield is fascinating. I love that Nick Castellanos has as many... votes as he has. That's Philly coming in strong, but there's no way I'm clicking your name. The finalists are Nick Castellanos, Teoscar Hernandez, Brandon Marsh, Jerickson Profar, Fernando Tatis Jr., and Christian Yelich in alphabetical order. I would argue to the two of you that the bottom three are my vote getters.
What the hell is Brandon Marsh even doing on this list?
He's a Philly.
That's still ridiculous.
Yeah, that's again where I feel like there has to be a somewhat like come to Jesus moment with this all-star ballot and the whole like, oh, well, they're a finalist, so you get to vote for them. Like, no, and I understand also it's just like if we had the full pool of players, some of these guys would still probably get selected and make the All-Star game as a starter when they didn't deserve it, right? Like, if we just let all players still allowed, like, obviously the players that we think should be on here didn't make it as a finalist, so is that an indictment on them? No. Is it an indictment on their fan base? It shouldn't be.
Mm-mm.
I mean, what? Like, we need to figure out a different way to go about this because, yeah, to have Brandon Marsh on there, for God's sakes... Like, what are we doing?
I mean, honestly, I think Teoscar is in the same boat. Castellanos is in the same boat. I think Teoscar's had a nice resurgence of a season in L.A., but it also helps when you bat fifth and the four guys in front of you are potential Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
Like, that's really nice.
Speak of the devil, he's up to bat right now against the Diamondbacks, and he's probably going to get a 3-run home run.
Yeah, probably.
As he grounds out to the pitcher for a double play.
I am voting Jurickson Profar, Fernando Tatis Jr., and Christian Yelich. Christian Yelich and William Contreras are the reason the Brewers are in first place. This is the best season Yelich has had.
I like how you throw Yelich in there now.
It's the best season he's had in 5 years. I thought Yelich was going to be a future superstar. He won an MVP. He was really good in Florida. Even better his first year in Milwaukee. And then kind of tapered off and here he is back.
Yeah, I agree with you. Those were the three, just like instinct right off the bat when I saw the six that are available to me. Those are the three I went with, because Profar more than deserving because of how he's been at the plate.
Comeback player of the year.
Yelich showing why he was a former MVP at 902 OPS. Like, that's insane for him. And then Tatis Jr. as far as what he can do at the dish and out in the outfield
out
as well.
Out in the field. He's the best right fielder in the game.
Yep.
All right, that'll do it for the National League. We come back, we'll slide over to the American League. Loaded second hour, don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.